This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
There's nothing like the power of worship. After all the sermons and Sunday school classes and college lectures are all over with, we'll spend an eternity in heaven at the throne of God worshiping Him. It's awesome. I'm still thinking about that grenade incident that Dr. Jones mentioned. You know, there's two kinds of grenades. There are explosive ones and there are duds. And I hope that you would pray for me that this explosive message would touch the heart of the matter this morning. It reminds me also of another situation that happened. I was in Baghdad a few years ago speaking to a room full of soldiers. And I was trying to impress upon them the dangers of what is outside the friendly wires where the soldiers lived. And I said something along the lines of, there's some young teenager that is waiting outside those gates that a terrorist is going to give $10 to $50 to ruin your... Before I said day, we had an explosion from a huge mortar that came from the enemy, 120-millimeter mortar, which is a really big rocket. And I'm hoping that we don't have anything like that that happens today either. It's wonderful to be in a place where, as the soldier says, no one's shot at you yet today. That's a pretty awesome experience, isn't it? And as you look around the room, you see a flag over there. We see the Christian flag, obviously, but we also see that American flag. And let's never lose thought of the fact that there are soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and guardians in some 100 nations around the world, many of them standing in harm's way, so that you and I have the opportunity to continue to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords without fear or threat of someone coming in to annihilate us or to prevent us from worshiping freely. May we never fail to remember that our freedom of worship and religious expression has been paid for by the blood, sweat, and tears of those who have worn our nation's cloth. And I would just ask you to continue to remember them in your daily prayers, that we might continue to be a land of the free and the brave. Amen. Let me read a scripture for you from Zephaniah chapter 3, sort of an interesting passage to read during Holy Week, but hopefully this message will come home to you before the end of this message. And some of you may not even know that Zephaniah is in the Bible. It is there, beginning with verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. And this is one of my favorite verses, perhaps my life verse, and I'll talk more about that later. Verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who have oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, saith the Lord. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his word. I really am thankful for the opportunity to take just a few moments in this holy place and to bring a portion of God's word to you. I hope that you know how esteemed CIU is among Christians and among the educational institutions around the United States and perhaps the world. Only the Lord knows how many missionaries, pastors, godly leaders have gone forth from this place, men and women like yourself, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I pray that the Lord will continue to use you in such a time as this to take the gospel to a hungry world that is looking for a relevant message and is looking for God's truth. You know, this is Holy Week. And around the world today, we're reflecting on Jesus' journey to the cross at Calvary, where he would suffer and bleed and die for the sins of the world, our sins. The good news is on the third day, he would rise again from the dead, defeating hell, death, and the grave forever. Today is referred to as Holy Tuesday. And I was looking at the history of Holy Tuesday and Holy Week. And there's a variety of passages that would be read today in Christian churches around the world. One of those passages that we could look at today on Holy Tuesday is from Matthew chapter 25. It's the story, the parable of the virgins. And you know the story quite well. Five wise virgins, five foolish. All 10 who were preparing for the bridegroom to come at any moment. But only 5 who were wise, 5 who were ready, at the midnight hour when the cry went out, the bridegroom has come. And so today, those who would be reading that passage would be reminding the believers that you and I must watch and be ready, because we don't know what hour that Christ is going to return for his church, but he is coming. And the message is for us to be prepared. A second lesson that might be shared today is from Matthew chapter 24, where tradition holds that Jesus, on Holy Tuesday, met on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. They had asked him a question, and you've heard that question asked before. Lord, are we living in that generation when the end shall come? What are the signs of the end of the world? And Jesus began that teaching, of course, again, a message of preparation. Readiness. Watch out, because many will come in my name. There will be many false Christ who are coming in the last days, claiming that they are the Christ. But there will be wars, and there will be rumors of wars. There will be nations against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in strange places. These are all the birth pangs, because there's going to be more persecutions. You're going to be persecuted for Jesus' sake and the name of Jesus. There will be wickedness, and the love of most men and women will grow cold. Luke goes on to say that when the Lord comes back, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So again, another message today we could focus on would be preparation. Preparation for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come. Not to look at the signs, but to look at the truth that the Son of Man is coming. There's a third text that's also kind of interesting that is used in many churches today from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. And this is when Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples and predicting his death. That the price for Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world would mean that he would suffer and bleed and he would die for our sins. He goes on to tell his disciples that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, you can't have a plant that would grow and bring forth life. And he goes on to conclude, as he's struggling with this mission that he has, he says, Lord, I would want you to relieve me from being a part of this hour, but not my will be done. Glorify your name, O God. For unless the Son of Man is lifted up, then and only then can all people be drawn to me. Well, here's my point on all of these things as we reflect today on the sufferings, the passion of Christ Jesus, the great love that he had for all of the world as he was prepared to show the full extent of his love. I only come to one conclusion, and that's the title of my message today. What a mighty God we serve. That he would bleed and that he would suffer and that he would die for you and me. You know, over the past 10 years, and it's been a really tough time for our military. Our troops are coming home, and as they come home, I know they're coming home stressed. They're coming home worn out. They're coming home with all kinds of issues, and perhaps there are some veterans even here in our midst today. The pain of 10 years of war and what it has done to our military and what it has done to our families and what it has done to our nation. I don't think we've seen the full impact of it yet. And if you don't know a veteran, I challenge you to get to know one, because they need your ministry. They need to know that Jesus Christ is the one who can heal and cure all of our illnesses and diseases and all of those stresses and strains that we carry with us. And one of the passages that I've used over the last 10 years as I've tried to speak to troops is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He quiets you with his love. He rejoices over you with much singing. I think God gave me that book of Zephaniah many years ago because the name Zephaniah means the God who hides. Sometimes when life is going difficult for us and all of our life is falling apart, it's really hard to find the Lord, isn't it? Have you ever found the Lord, even though he is faithful and he is true and he's omniscient, he's omnipresent? And yet sometimes it's just hard to find him, especially when your life is falling apart. Where is God when it hurts? And I don't know where y'all are today in your lives, but I would just ask you to rejoice with me as we reflect on the mighty God that we serve, a God, first of all, who promises to be present with us in all of life's circumstances. The Lord, your God, is with you. What a mighty God we serve. There's nothing in the world that's more comforting or exhilarating than to know that God is present with us. I could tell you countless times when I've experienced the presence of God as he's overwhelmed me. In my military experience, as I prepare to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, standing in an open door, about to go out about 1,500 feet above ground, hoping that that parachute is going to open, I can tell you that I had a religious experience, the presence of God with me, that, hey, we can do this. God is with us. He's near at hand. We're not alone or isolated. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He walks among us to guide us, to inspire us, to convict us, to comfort us, to bring us peace, and to give us hope. You remember the psalmist in Psalm 139? Lord, where can I go from your Spirit's presence? Where can I go to flee your presence? If I go into the heavens with the angels, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, your hand is there guiding and holding me. I really believe that we need to grab hold of the promise of God that he is present with us. We are a lonely generation. Right before I retired, struggling along with the other military leaders regarding a problem in the military, perhaps as a result of this war, perhaps not, and it's in the area of suicide. In 2010, we had 302 soldiers take their lives, the largest number that we've had commit suicide since the Vietnam War, really since we've kept record. Soldiers of all ranks, male, female, privates, senior officers. And we began looking at this problem of suicide. Why are individuals taking their lives? As we began to look at the forensics and to study each one of the suicides, we came to the conclusion there's three reasons that individuals are taking their lives in the military, and perhaps not just the military. Center for Disease Control in Atlanta will probably come out with similar statistics. Number one, a failed relationship. Individuals, when they realize that that boy or that girl that they want to spend the rest of their life with is not going to be there, or has written them an instant text message and saying, I don't love you anymore, they take their lives. Secondly, our troops are taking their lives when they are, in some cases, facing public shame. They've done some heinous crime. They've broken the law. And the police, the military police, are on their way. They're going to be thrown into jail. They're going to be court-martialed. And instead of going through the trial, they decide to take their life. The third one bothers me the most, and I'm struggling with this, as I hope you will with me. We found more than one, on one occasion, troops who were taking their lives because of isolation. In this big world, this global community because of the internet, how could you be lonely? And yet we find that a number of these individuals who have taken their life had no one there for them. No lifelines. Maybe 300 friends on a social networking, Facebook. But who do you call at 3 o'clock in the morning when you need someone? I want to encourage you today that there is one who is closer than a brother. There is one who will never leave you or forsake you. There is one who promises you that you will never be alone, even at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And that is what God has done through us, through His precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is always there for us 24/7. And we experience the presence of God the closer we draw towards Him in that intimate relationship with Him. Amen? The Lord your God is with you. What a mighty God we serve. He's present with us. But secondly, our God is mighty to save. He's powerful. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In January of 2003, I'm in southern Bavaria with the senior leadership of my command, and we're preparing for the invasion of Iraq weeks later. It's the dress rehearsal. There's this huge sand table where all of these generals have stood over this sand and they've literally walked exactly what's going to happen at the onset of the war is how we're going to win this thing, hopefully. And then our commanding general stands before all of us and he says, now listen, this is going to be different than Desert Storm. We're not going to take hundreds of thousands of troops into the desert because we don't have them. We're not going to take some of these powerful units. We're going to really go in lean. We're not going to have all of this fancy equipment because we can't afford it right now, but we're going to go with what we've got. We're going to do our nation's business. That is all. It was very quiet, almost a heavy depression over the room. And the general said, Chaplain, what do you have to say? You know, what do you have to say when it seems that the odds are against you? This is why you and I must be close to the Lord and be prepared to give an answer at any time when someone asks for a reason for which we have hope. I'm sure that I stuttered and I was not brave and courageous because I had not gone into that war room with a sermon in my hip pocket. But I do remember sharing with them something along the lines of, even when we face what seems to be giants, there is a God who's bigger than any enemy that might stand before us, that we're not to be afraid, we're not to be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I don't know what obstacle that you are faced in your life today. Maybe it's a doctor's report, maybe it's a family issue, maybe it's some struggle that you're having. But I know that the God of this book, the God that raised His Son from the dead, did not allow His body to see decay. That God is still alive and powerful in all of our lives. And whether we face famine or nakedness or trouble or hardship or persecution or danger or the sword or pestilence or whatever there's going on in this world, whatever the news tells us is the next threat to our life, there's nothing than all of creation that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The scripture says that neither high things nor low things, nor death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present or future, nor high things or low things. Nothing in all of creation shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Don't shout me down. Thirdly,
The Lord your God is pleased with you. What a mighty God we serve. Have you thought about that lately, that the God of the universe is pleased with you? Have you looked in the mirror today and said, God, not only have you created me in your image, not only am I the apple of your eye, you like me. Robert McGee, an author a few years ago, came out with a book, In Search of Significance. And he said that all of us are looking for three things in the world. All people are. We're looking for significance. We want people to recognize that we're here, that we have a contribution to render to society, to community. We all have a need for intimacy. We all have a need for someone to love us, to be a part of a family, or to be a part of a loving relationship. And we have that need for relationship. We were created to be connected to God and to others. And yet, as I have counseled soldiers of all ranks over all the years, as I've counseled not just soldiers, but as I've counseled people, I've met so many who just can't really believe that promise that God is pleased with us. Now, why would you think God's not pleased with you? Well, you say because of sin. Did you know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Do you know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness? What a glorious promise that God takes delight in you and me. I've been reflecting for the past week or so on where I was about 9 years ago in the desert, in the camps of Kuwait as we were preparing to move north into Baghdad. In fact, Baghdad fell 9 years ago today. As we were preparing to go north from Kuwait, about a 600-mile trip, right before we left, we had a kind of a pep talk from our commander, and then we had a few moments for administrative halt, of which we offered communion. And in my headquarters company, almost every soldier got in line for communion. Didn't matter if they were Christian, non-Christian, Jewish, Islamic, they all got in line. They all wanted to be right with God before they crossed that line into dangerous territory. And I remember not just the ones who were sincere about the body and blood of Jesus Christ, but the ones who came up saying, Chaplain, I don't want you to get too close to me because I don't want lightning to strike you as well, but I don't deserve to be in this line to ask for God's mercy and His forgiveness. You don't know all that I've done in my life. You know, that was quite sad. It broke my heart to hear the number of individuals who were trapped in their own sinfulness, not realizing that once we confess our sins, we are free. We're made new. Christ makes all things new. And as we confess our sins, you and I will realize personally and walk with the conviction and walk with the courage that I am a delight to the Lord. Now, how would that affect your walk today if you really knew that you are a delight to God? He was pleased with you. Please hear that word from the Lord. God is pleased with you. What a mighty God we serve, a God who is present with us, a God who is powerful, a God who is pleased with us, a God who brings us peace. He quiets us with His love. You know, it's a noisy world. I can't help even as I was driving down from Charlotte watching the number of people on their cell phones doing 80, 85 miles an hour along with me, but they had their headphones. They had something attached because they couldn't enjoy the quiet. It's a noisy world. God promises to quiet us with His love. There's two things I believe that we all need more of. We need rest and we need peace. And God has promised to give us both of them. I can't help but think of a young soldier. I've watched his life since 2007. His name is Colonel Greg Gadsden. Greg was returning from a memorial service in Iraq for two dead soldiers, and on his return to his camp, he hit an improvised explosive device, and it mangled both of his legs. One was was going to have to be removed. The other one was just full of shrapnel. I met him in July of 2007 at Fort Myer, Virginia. And I remember the prayer request he asked. He said, "Chaplain, pray for me. Tomorrow morning, I've got to go to Walter Reed. And I've got to make a decision. They want to take one leg off, and the other one, they say, has so much shrapnel that I'll probably be having to go so many times, it's probably best to take that one off as well. Would you pray for me about that decision?" So I prayed with him. The next time I saw him was November of 2007. I was in Walter Reed at the Rehabilitation Center, and I heard this voice, "Chaplain, come walk with me." And here's Greg Gadsden, 40-something-year-old colonel, walking on his new legs. I've never been humbled by such an invitation in my entire life, and to have Greg Gadsden ask me to come and walk with him. And seeing how he was encouraging the young soldiers around him as he was learning to walk again with new legs. Well, I've watched him. In fact, I was so impressed by his life, and you could read about him. He was an inspiration to the Giants, and some of the Giants fans would tell you, some of the Giants players would tell you that he perhaps was instrumental for them winning their past two Super Bowls, because the quarterback coach for the New York Giants was his roommate in college at West Point. But Greg spoke to our chaplains last year, and he told us that he was not walking in peace since 2007. It took several years. He was full of turmoil and an inner tension, because since that accident in the desert of Iraq, he had built up a hatred and an unforgiveness towards those terrorists who had not only taken his legs but killed his soldiers. And he said it was only until he was able to forgive his enemies and those who had done that and changed his life that he was able to experience peace and rest that passed all understanding, all counseling, all comprehension. What a mighty God that you and I serve. As we lay down those things that have happened to us, either willfully or things that happened to us unexpectedly, but we give those issues, those problems to the Lord, what a difference it would make as we experience His peace and His rest. Finally, what a mighty God we serve. A God who sings His promises over us. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He quiets with His love. He rejoices over you with much singing. In the Hebrew language, it's a picture of actually like a top, God spinning circles around you in love. Now, I know that might be a hard image for you and I to have of God, but the Scripture does say that as a bridegroom sings over his bride, so God sings over us. I've got just a couple of seconds, so I'll give you this true story of how God sang His promise over me. For most of my life, I struggled with fear. Fear that began with a traumatic incident as a young boy. And I'll tell you, it was almost 40 years. I would awaken at 3 o'clock in the morning and continue to relive an issue. This was almost 40 years, even as a pastor, even as a HUA soldier, struggling with fear. Until one particular moment in January of 1988, I was in Germany and I was awakened to something new. I heard God singing a promise over me. I heard Him singing, "The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He quiets you with His love. He rejoices over you with much singing. For I've not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." I don't know where you are today, but there's so many promises in here that God wants to sing over your soul as we plant those deep into our hearts. Verses, promises from God that become reality when we need them to free us to be who we really are in Christ Jesus. If the Lord has made you free, you are free indeed. What a mighty God we serve, a God who is present with us, a God who is powerful, a God who is pleased with us, a God who is our peace, and a God who proclaims His promises over us 24 hours a day. To God be the glory.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.